two outstanding books of prophecy, Daniel in the Old Testament and the Revelation in the New Testament. Daniel has been under fire of the critics from time immemorial. So minutely have details in the prophecy of Daniel been fulfilled that the so-called higher critic contends that Daniel wrote it after the fulfillment of these prophecies, and that Daniel was not a prophet but the historian. Turn just a moment to Matthew 24. I want to read you one word from our Lord, and then you know whether Daniel was a prophet or a historian. The 24th chapter and the 15th verse, our Lord is speaking, and he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." Now that's the Lord speaking. And when the Lord says Daniel is a prophet, you know that Daniel is a prophet. The book of Jonah has been labeled a fable. But the Lord said on one occasion to a group, "No sign shall be given unto you except the sign of Jonah." And the Lord identified Jonah as a real man of God, as well as Daniel. The story of Daniel in the lion's den and the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace are among some of the first Bible stories many of us heard or learned in the home. They're fascinating. The book of Daniel outlines for us the times of the Gentiles. We have two expressions in the Bible: times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. Romans 11:25 defines the fullness of the Gentiles. "But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." It's in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that we read that God did for the first time visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, with the following statement, that after this I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, after the fullness of the Gentiles, after the last Gentile has been taken into the body of Christ, after that I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. The fullness of the Gentiles has to do with the completion of the body of Christ. Now, in Luke 21, we read of the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21 and verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. They shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." With the conclusion of the Six-Day War, many people were going around rejoicing, saying that the times of the Gentiles had been fulfilled. And I asked them what they meant, and they said, "Well, no longer is any part of Jerusalem trodden underfoot by the Gentiles." I said, "You've forgotten about the Mosque of Omar, which is in the midst of the city under the control of Gentiles, and it still is. The times of the Gentiles have not yet been fulfilled, nor have we experienced the fullness of the Gentiles." Daniel tells about the beginning of the times of the Gentiles and carries us on to the end. One other word about the interpretation of the Word of God. I believe it was Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo, who originally gave this expression, which has been quoted time and again since. The way in which I learned this expression is something like this: when the plain sense, or when the Scripture, or the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense seek no other sense. When the plain sense makes common sense seek no other sense. There are illustrations, and there are parables, and there are symbols, there are analysis throughout the Word of God, but you'll usually find some identifying mark, connection with a particular passage of Scripture, to enable you in your interpretation. Some have questioned the authorship of Daniel, but it doesn't hold up. I accept the authorship of Daniel as being Daniel himself. I have no trouble with it. Now, let's start with the first verse. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and beseeched it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand the part of the vessels of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." Nebuchadnezzar, a pawn in the hand of God Almighty. Nebuchadnezzar, a tool in God's hand. Nebuchadnezzar, a whip God's going to use, chasing the children of Israel. Israel had revolted against God. Israel had turned against God. Israel had gone away into apostasy. Israel was worshiping idols. Israel had desecrated the Sabbath. One part of the law of the Sabbath to be observed by the children of Israel when they came into the promised land was that every seventh year the land was to lie idle. 6 years they could work the land, harvest the crops. But the seventh year, There was to be no harvesting of the crop. What grain came up voluntarily, what the orchard vineyard bore, was to be for the widows, the orphans, and the poor. But the children of Israel, then as Christians today, couldn't see how the Lord could take care of them. They could not believe that they and the Lord could produce enough in 6 years to serve them 7 years. Like many people today do not believe that the Lord and 9/10 of that with which He blesses us can serve better than 10/10 without the Lord. For 490 years they'd been in the land, and the land had not been idle one single year. If you divide 490 by 7, you'll see there were 70 years that the land was to lie idle. And the children of Israel worked it for their own profit and benefit. And so the Lord is getting ready to take them into captivity, and He's going to force them to let the land rest 70 years. I was visiting in a home once where an individual was grievously ill. They had nurses. It just so happened that I got there when the head of the house and the husband of the ill gave one of the nurses a check for $900 some odd. And this man had always been one that was always gigging and joking me about tithing. And he shoved that check at me and said, "Don't you wish it's going to the church? Don't you wish that's going to the church?" Sometimes I speak without thinking. Now don't follow up on that, just let it rest. Now, that was in my early ministry. Had less sense then than now. And I just said, "Well, if it had gone, this might not have happened." I don't know whether there's any truth in that or not. But that's what I said. Now, the children of Israel, I've always made this statement, and I still believe it's true. We can take that tenth which belongs to the Lord and use it ourselves, but I don't believe we'll profit thereby. And we can take time that God's allotted unto Himself and use it for ourselves, but I don't believe we'll profit thereby. Just generalizations. Dr. R.G. Lee had a famous sermon he preached all over the country some 400 odd times, which he called "Payday Someday." Payday Someday. We forget the fourth law of the harvest. We remember the first, that to sow is to reap. We remember the second, we reap like we sow. We remember the third, we reap more than we sow. But we forget that there is a period of time between the sowing and the reaping. And just because we have sowed and sowed and sowed and not reaped does not mean we'll not reap. There is a harvest day coming. And it comes here to the children of Israel. And God delivers the king of Judah, Jehoiakim, and the children of Israel into his hands. God delivers them. And he takes vessels dedicated to the service of the Lord, vessels of gold and of silver. He takes them home with him. And he puts them in the house where he has his gods. That's quite a heartache to the children of Israel, knowing that the vessel dedicated to Jehovah were now dedicated to Baal and the other gods of the Babylonians. But let's remember one thing. Nebuchadnezzar honored those vessels and put them aside. Didn't use them, as we'll read, as his son or grandson Belshazzar did. So there they are. Now, third verse, we read of a custom with many of these kings as they conquered various and sundry nations. Let's read of it here in this verse, third verse. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now, Ashpenaz, you go and you find some of the king's sons and grandsons. You get some of the princes and you bring them. The wisdom of governing and controlling captured nations was manifested in the practice of taking out their own people and training and educating them and putting them in positions of responsibility over their own people. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the time, or at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. They're going to bring these young men in. It's been ascertained that Daniel at this time was about 14 years of age, and we would judge his companions to be about the same age. They're already handsome, poised, intellectual, trained, disciplined, healthy, young men of royalty. Nebuchadnezzar is going to bring them into his court, and for 3 years they're going to feed them and train them and educate them in the culture and wisdom of the Chaldeans, so that at the end of 3 years they'd be able to take their position in the palace of the king, assume responsible positions, and help in the governing and controlling of the children of Israel that had been brought over as captives. Now, among those that were brought in, four are named. these four stand out. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those names have very significant meanings, as did all of the names in the Bible times. Oftentimes, names that were prophetic of what they were going to be. Sometimes, named after it was revealed what they were going to be. Now, the word Daniel, his name, meant God is my judge. God is my judge. His name was changed to Belshazzar. We have that in the 7th verse. Daniel named the Belshazzar. And Belshazzar means Baal or Baal favors. Now, instead of being God is my judge, now they call him Baal favors him, or Baal. It's the same word. Hananiah, which means beloved of the Lord, had his name changed to Shadrach, which means illuminated by the sun god. Now, the names they had were in relation to Jehovah. Their names are changed and related to pagan gods. Now, the third one, Mishael, which meant, who is as God, had his name changed to Meshach, which meant, who is like Venus? And then Azariah, which meant the Lord is my help, was changed to Abednego, which meant a servant of Nego, another one of their gods. All four names related to Jehovah changed to names related to pagan gods, trying to divorce them and separate them from their training of the true and living God and direct their attention to the pagan gods. Now, the 8th verse is one of the prominent verses in the Word of God, I'm corresponding with a man from Minnesota who's trying to learn the will of the Lord. And he's written me several letters. How can I tell if this is the will of the Lord or if this is the flesh or the natural man asserting himself? Now, here's a step, a resolution taken by Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart, that is, he resolved within himself. He didn't make it known to anybody for a while. He determined within himself that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, Some believe that Daniel's fidelity to the Levitical code is what comes to the fore here, and he's not going to eat anything that's unclean or look on the cup while it's red with the wine. But there's a sense in which Daniel did not purpose not to eat or drink, which I don't think had anything to do with the Levitical code, but because the foods and the drinks of those who were pagans was offered to idols as a sacrifice. And to eat of that meat and to drink of that wine would be to put their stamp of approval on the system of idolatry. Now turn to the 10th chapter of Daniel with me. Let me show you one verse which I think bears out that conclusion. In this 10th chapter of Daniel and the 3rd verse, Daniel is talking about his prayer to the Lord. And he said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, until the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He ate the meat and drank the wine before. For 3 weeks he didn't. After the 3 weeks he did. And if it had been because of his observance of the Levitical code, he wouldn't have done it at any time. But those of you who have had the opportunity to attend some of the evening services here on Sunday have gone with us in our studies in Corinthians, Paul's discourse on the eating of meat that's been offered to idols and not. And Paul tells us that he could eat or he could not eat as the situation demanded. But Daniel at 14 is brought into this foreign palace. He's brought in for the purpose of being trained and educated to the end and with the view of helping govern the children of Israel. His name has been changed, taking away that which pertains to Jehovah and given a name which pertains to Baal. And he determined that he was going to separate himself from the pagan worship and religion, so-called. And part of it was not eating or drinking that which had been offered to idols. He purposed in his heart that he was going to stand for the one true and living God. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Commentators have had a heyday in discussing these young Jewish captives, whether or not they were emasculated. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 39, I turn you again to the Word of God. It's amazing how the Word of God fails to convince some people. But here in the 39th verse, the 39th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. What plainer statement could be made, or could one have? Now, Daniel speaks to the head, the prince of the eunuchs. I want you to notice the word here is, therefore he requested, he asked. There's no demand. There's no bitterness. There's no ugliness. There's tact, diplomacy, the manifestation of a Christian spirit and attitude. He asked him. No ultimatum. He requested that he not have to eat that meat or drink of the wine which had been offered to the idols. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and into love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, which hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces? Worse liking than that of the children which are of your sword. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. The prince of the eunuchs says, no. You're asking something that's going to endanger my position. Not only position, but my head. I could lose my head over you. Then Daniel said to Melzor, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Daniel says, I'm a reasonable man, and what I'm asking you will not endanger your life, neither your position. What faith a boy 14 had in the Lord God Almighty? Whence cometh faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The Lord had spoken to him. And he knew the word of the Lord from the old manuscripts and from that which had been handed down by word of mouth. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. That's strictly vegetable diet, water to drink. Just let us have that for 10 days. You can do that without exciting the king or anybody in the palace. Nobody's going to pay attention to that. And after 10 days, let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Can anything be fairer? Give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and let all of the rest of these royal-blooded young men eat that which comes from the king's table. And then you check us at the end of 10 days. And whatever the result is, we'll abide by it. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Now, the 17th verse follows the 8th verse. I want to read verse 8, part of it, and then go to 17. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, God gave them knowledge, verse 17, and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel's faithfulness to God resulted in God Almighty's blessing being poured out upon him. It was true then, it's been true ever since, and it's true now. God will honor His Word. And God will bless. Now at the end of the days, the king had said he should bring them in. That is, at the end of 3 years. The Spirit draws a curtain over those 3 years. We read nothing of what transpired. But I feel sure that we can rest assured that those are 3 years of discipline, training, culture. And at the end of those 3 years, the king had said he should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers that were in Israel. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel served under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Daniel served about 70 to 72 years in the palace of the kings. If you don't take anything home with you but this, take this home with you. Daniel purposed in his heart to be true to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him abundantly above and beyond all anticipation. Dismiss us, Father, with thy loving care and tender mercies, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.